Okay, now I'm recording. Yay. Okay, so Jesus now, the present day ministry of Jesus Christ. We're talking about what he's doing even now. We celebrate and we thank God, and so much of our praise is directed toward what he has done for us in the work of salvation and all the preparation about who he has made us through the work of redemption, that we are complete because of the work that he did. But there's so much more that he's doing right now. Jesus is not just idle in heaven, as we've been saying. He's not just waiting for his return, but we're going to talk about that. This lesson was going to be about that, but then I realized there's a couple parts I hadn't covered yet, so here we go. Maybe next week we'll talk about his mansion builder, might be the week after that. So just come anyway. You'll be blessed. I sent out an email to all of the legacy class that I have and attached all the notes up to here. So if you did not get that email, put your name on a list or email me at Jeff J at homechurchok.com. Jeff J at homechurchok.com. And so you can email me if you did not get an email from me this week, unless you haven't checked your emails to look and see, Linda. Anyway, and I attached all the notes because a lot of people have been telling me how much they've enjoyed this series, but sometimes they misplace the notes or they didn't get the notes because they missed a week. Anyway, so it had to go as two emails, one with the first five and the other with the second five. So I sent lessons 1 through 10 because our mail system limits attachments to five. So there you go. All my explanation. All right, so there we are. Our lesson today, number 12, Jesus now is our divine benefactor. Our divine benefactor, and there's so much that we could focus on, but all the things that he gives us, many of those are the result of his work of redemption in us, because he saved us, redeemed us, made us whole, made us complete. But there's one specific area that I want to talk about because it's the only place that the word benefactor is used in the New Testament in reference to Jesus. And so let's look at this. He is our divine benefactor, and he gave us these things and he works these things in us so that he might be glorified in the earth. And so let's read Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7. We'll come back and look a little bit more at this in a minute. But it says, but grace was given. Everybody read that next phrase.
To each one of us.
I should have capitalized the word each. The Greek word panta, P-A-N-T-A, doesn't mean just everybody, like we think. The Greek word means each and every. So you can't say, well, yeah, he gave it to all the body. He gave it to everybody, but didn't give it to me. Yeah, he did. To each and every one of us. And so it's a Greek word specific for the fact that it's not just all as everybody, it's all individually. So all have been received. And who are these? Those who have believed in his name have received this gift. If they're not a believer, they have not. And so to each and every one of us, according to the measure of Christ's gift. And we're going to come back to that word measure in just a little bit. But the measure has to do with what he wanted you to have. So each of us has been gifted according as he wanted you to have, each and every one of us. And so none of us have been given everything to handle everything and to minister in every way. We have been given the measure that he wanted us to have. For what? for the mission, for the purpose that he has set us in the body. And just as Paul uses the analogy, he barely refers to it in Romans chapter 12, but he enlarges upon it a lot in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, that the body has all these different members. We are the body, and we are the members. Each of us individually, yes, we're part of the body, but we're not all gifted to do the same thing, just like your human body. And Paul goes into a lot of details about that and talks about even the parts that we don't even think about. There's parts of the body that you give no concern to, but he put them there because you need them to work. And so it is also with the body of Christ. There's sometimes people we don't think about. We kind of set them aside, and they may feel like they've been set aside, but they're not, because every one of them is essential to the operation of the body. And so this is tied together with this word benefactor. So let's read Acts chapter 10, verse 38. One of my favorite passages, and you should have this not only underlined but memorized. I refer to this a lot because there's a lot in this. To me, one of the most essential passages of the New Testament concerning the ministry of Jesus. And it says in Acts chapter 10, 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. So that's God's anointing upon the man, Jesus Christ. He was already the Son, but God specifically anointed him, what? With the Holy Spirit and with power. Well, wasn't he part of the Trinity? Yes. Did he not know the Holy Spirit? He's like, oh, sorry, never met you. No. But this is Jesus of Nazareth, the man. You can't divide him up so specifically that there's Jesus and then there's God. And you don't divide him up like that, but this is the manifestation of his humanity, which he took on when he was incarnated into this earth. And so God anointed that one, and specifically Jesus of Nazareth, speaking of the man, Jesus, and he anointed him with what? With the Holy Spirit and power. And those two things consistently in the New Testament go together. The Holy Spirit and power. The Holy Spirit and power. Why? Because his presence is power. His presence is also comfort and teaching and wisdom and understanding. But specifically, he's power. And the Greek word for power there comes from the word dunamis, supernatural power, power that is resonant within itself, like a battery that's fully charged. All it needs is to be tapped into. And all we need to do is tap into the power of the Holy Spirit that's on the inside of us. And so, now let's read on. So why did he do this? He was anointed with Holy Spirit and power and went about. The ESV makes a separate sentence, but the Greek does not. And went about doing good. Doing good. I've got that highlighted there. And healing all who are oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Again, out of this passage, we can see that healing is not from, or sickness is not from God. Disease is not from God. Spiritual oppression is not from God. All those healing all who were oppressed of the devil. So any preacher that says God gives sickness or God gives disease or some infirmity, you're wrong. Because the scripture says it comes from the devil. And Jesus did what? Removed it. If it was from God, why would Jesus be removing it? I mean, if God wanted you sick, isn't it wrong to pray to be healed? I'm not going to get into that whole thing, but I could go long on that. But anyway, healing of all who were oppressed of the devil, why? For God was with him, not because he was God, and not just because God was in him, but God was with him. God was working together with him, so there's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, working together with him. But what did he do? He went about doing good. And this is the only place that this Greek word is used in all of the New Testament. doing good. It's the Greek word that they would use for the word a benefactor. And a benefactor, specifically in the Greek, comes from the word eugeteo, eugeteo. And the word eugeteo means one who works to the good. One who works to the good. The Greek word ergos comes from this, energy. One who uses his energy to the good. So Jesus was anointed with Holy Spirit and power, using his energy to the good. And this is what he went about doing, good and healing all. The word euergeteo means one who freely bestows upon others from his abundance, a benefactor. Now, I'd like to have a benefactor. I mean, I've got Jesus, but I mean an earthly benefactor who says, you know, whatever you need, just write a check. I'll cover it. You know, whatever you need, I'm there because I'm your benefactor. Oh, hallelujah, right? But we have that. We have that in Christ. I could go long into he provides healing for us as a benefactor. He provides our needs as a benefactor. He's doing good for us. He takes care of our direction. He takes care of what's ahead of us. I don't have to worry about tomorrow or a month after, whatever. He's already doing good. Already doing good for me before I ever get to the scene. And so this is one who does good. But I want you to notice what this is attached to. Doing good and healing all who are oppressed, for God was with him. And so specifically, because this is the only place that this word is used, specifically this doing good attached to Jesus had to do with his ministry to people. And that's what God wants us to have. And he's going to give us this power to do good for others. So as the divine benefactor, Jesus doesn't just give stuff to you. He gives things to you so that you might pass it through, that you might pass it along. My spiritual dad, he had a phrase he liked to use. He said, God will get it to you if he can get it through you. Thank you, Miss Felicia. And I probably used that before. Maybe you heard it from Roy Sprague or one of his other students that came out of his classes. But God will get it to you if he can get it through you. God does not want us to be the end consumer of what he gives us. We are to be a, and I hate to use this word because it's used in, you know, well, modern things, you know, to be a channel. We're to be a channel for it to pass through. That doesn't mean it doesn't do good for us. It does. But it's there for me to pass it along. And so, what do I have from him? As divine benefactor, he has freely given us the gifting or the power from the Holy Spirit. Just as he had it, because we are now what? His body, right? So as his body, we become a benefactor in this earth. He has given to us so that we might pass it along, so that we might distribute his power. Just as he did, we should be what? Going about doing good, being a benefactor to others. And first of all, of course, to our own brothers and sisters, to those in the body, but then from the body out to the world. And so this is how God wants to work through us. And so this benevolence. So the first area of his benevolence is in manifesting his person. That we are to be, in a sense, what he was in the earth. And as Jesus was here to help, he has placed in his body those who have been gifted to help. And he's given us the abilities to help others. Jesus went about helping, being what others needed. And so we are now, because we're his body, We are those who have been given to manifest his person. I'm not Jesus. You're not Jesus. But altogether, we are his body. And because I'm his body, I'm a part of his body. And as a part of his body, he has gifted me to do. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. This is going back to where we started. Ephesians chapter 4, but we're going to read a little bit further. Ephesians chapter 4 says, but grace was given. What was given?
Grace.
Grace. So this is unmerited gifts. You don't earn this. You're not good enough to have it. You have it because God wants it to be there. And according to Paul's definition in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 9, grace is the power to do. It's his power to do. And so Paul said, his grace was given to me. The Lord said, my grace, my presence, my power is given to you to cover your weakness, to supply for what I can't. I don't have what people need. As soon as you become the source for other people, you've blocked God from being there.
That's right.
Because if you become the source, then the praise goes to you. But if I become a channel, a way for God to pass something through me, then the glory goes to him. And so it says, grace is given to each one of us. We talked about that. According to the measure, that is what God wants you to have. You may be gifted in things that I am not. And I need you to be. Because I need you to be what I'm not. You're gifted to be what I'm not because I need you to be what I'm not. A friend of ours once said, if you try to be someone else, you can't be. Because God won't let you. He's already got one of those. But if you won't be yourself, God doesn't have one of those.
Don't rob God of you.
So, do what?
Don't rob God of you.
Don't rob God of you. Thank you very much. That's a nice phrase. So don't rob God of you by trying to be something else or not taking part in the gifting that God has given to you. So he goes on. I'm going to skip down to verse 11. And he himself, and so the Greek it emphasizes that. We like to take that out. We just like to say, and he gave. No, he himself gave. Specifically in the Greek, it's intensified so that we know this didn't come from anybody else. He himself gave some. So verse 7 says each one. Verse 11 says some. Some to be, some to be, some to be, some to be. So out of the each one, he's given some to be this other thing. What are these other things? Well, we call them the fivefold ministry, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. And so we look at these five. What are they there for? To minister to the body. We're not here to be lifted up. We're not gifted to be exalted. We're not gifted to be above the people. In a sense, we're gifted to be below the people. We're to be the one who's ministering to them. And so he gave these some. Let's read on. Verse 12, for the equipping of the saints, the word perfecting or mending or making complete. So these some were given to make everybody else complete, to furnish the each ones. The some were given to complete or furnish, heal, mend, restore, the each ones. Because when people come to the body of Christ, they come wounded. They come incomplete. They come without understanding or direction. And so, as ministers, my responsibility is to minister to those so that they can be restored, healed, completed, furnished, brought to their fullness. All of that is wrapped up in this word complete. Or equipping. Equipping the saints. Why do these some need to complete, mend, heal, restore the each so that they can do the ministry? That's what it says. They're equipping the saints for the work of ministering or serving. Sometimes this gets, again, confused because people think the sum are given not only to equip but also to serve or do the works of ministry. No, I'm given to help you do the works of ministry. That doesn't take me out of the way because I'm also to do the works of service. But I'm also specifically called to equip, to furnish, complete, to restore, to heal, so that they, others, the people I'm teaching, can do the works of ministry, the service. And what's the purpose of that? Unto, or so that, the edifying of the body of Christ. So, the sum, heal, mend, restore, complete the saints, so that saints can serve the body until the body is built up. And so all of this is wrapped up in the purpose of him being a divine benefactor, that he wants to gift us so that we can minister to others. Amen. So that we can be what others need. We can serve. And we can serve outside the church. We'll get to that later in this message, if I get that far. All right. And 1 Peter chapter 4. Again, we've used this verse numbers of times in different classes. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 and 11. And again, it says, as each one of us, again, it's the Greek word panta, each and every one of us has received a gift. Say that. Each one of us has received a gift. You've all been a recipient of a divine grace, something that God wanted you to have because he is a benefactor. He's doing good. He's ministering to those who need so that they can be brought to completion, so that the body of Christ can be built up, so that we can fulfill every need. Each one of us has been given. And so it says, each one of us received a gift. Therefore, what? Paul uses, or Peter uses, a imperative verb here. Use it to serve one another. If you got it, and what? You did. So if you got it, and you did, use it. That's a command. He doesn't say, well, if you want to, you can use it. He can say, I don't need the rest of the body. I'll cover that in just a second. You know, I don't need anybody else. I don't need the church. I'm complete in Christ. Is that true? You're complete in him. And so I don't need to be a part of a local church. I don't need to be a part of a fellowship. I don't need to get part of others. Yeah, you do. Number one, because if you're not here, we're missing something. And number two, if you're not here, you're missing something. Because no one's been called to be it themselves. Each one of you has received a gift, not every gift. Peter could have said that. Each one of us has received every gift. But he didn't say that. He said we received a gift. And so this gift is your place, your gifting. No other word for it, in the body of Christ. Use it, then what does it say? To what? Serve. To serve who? One another. So again, if you're not a part of the body, how can you use it to serve one another? You don't use it to serve yourself. God's gifting is not for you to have. He's already gifted you with what you need. But I also need what other people have in order to accomplish the work of ministry. I don't need what they have in order to be complete in Christ. I'm complete because I'm in Christ. I don't need them for spiritual completion. I need them for natural completion. I can't do everything. Though sometimes on Sunday morning, I feel like I'm trying. But I'm not here to do everything. Some ministers get so burned out because they're busy trying to do everything. They're trying to be everything the church needs. And it won't work. We need other people. Thank God for those in helps ministry, service ministries, whatever we call them. They are here to help serve, minister to the body. In Greek, they're called deacons, but if we use that title, people go nuts. Yeah. You know, so we don't use that title because, but those who are serving are technically deacons. But don't put that on a badge and wear it around the church. Right. Because people think something else. And we're to use it to serve one another. And here's the next phrase, as good stewards. As good trustees. The Greek word steward is a trustee. It's someone who's received something that does not belong to you. It's not for you. It's for other people. A trustee can't use the resources that have been put at his disposal, been placed under his authority. He can't use those for himself. They're there for other people. And so as trustees, so whatever God has given us is for other people. As good stewards of God's, and I love this next phrase, multifaceted grace or diverse grace. The Greek word can also mean multicolored. A multicolored grace. It's like every one of us is somewhat of a different shade. You know, there's what, three primary colors. There's what, seven, actually nine colors in the rainbow. But then in my computer, there's something like 20 million colors. I didn't count them. I took someone else's word for it. But it's 20-some million colors. Why? Because there's all different shades. And so you've received a different shade of God's grace. And we all need that. Because all those colors together form what? Not black. If you combine all the colors, you don't get black. You get clear. You can't even see it. It just disappears. Because all of those colors blended together disappear. And that's the wonder of physics. And so that all those colors, so if we're all together, you don't see us because we disappear. And they see who? Christ. And so they don't see me, they see Christ. And that's the way it should be. Top of your next panel. And about this is about all the further I'm going to get to go. But I know you love me, so that's all right. Let's go last line of verse, first panel. Whoever speaks as one who speaks the oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength or the power that God supplies. So all of this comes from God. If I've given a gift to minister through words, encouragement, teaching, giving to other people, prophecy, evangelism, whatever that gifting is, it's not for me. I'm to speak as an oracle of God. And then the one who serves does it by God's strength, not by their own. Because if you depend on your own strength to serve the body of Christ, you will wear out. Because you can't do it. You got to draw from God. And I know people that get involved sometimes, and what's happening usually is they're involved in something that they're not gifted for. So they're trying to draw a strength, but that strength isn't coming from God. It's coming from themselves. So we need to understand what we're called to. And you know who's going to help you with that? The sum. God put the sum, in a sense, to help the body understand, be matured, so they can find where their gifting is. So they can find where their place is. And so that's part of the ministry of the sum, to help the each find their place. Why is this? Why do we minister in this way? In order that in everything, God may be glorified. How? What's this next phrase? Through Jesus Christ. Why? Because we are part of his body. So it's not me, in a sense, the little finger in the body of Christ. It's Jesus. It is through Christ. And as I minister in his name, as I am a benefactor to those who are around, my brothers, sisters in the body of Christ, those who are outside the body of Christ, as I minister to those, it is not me that should be seen, it's Him. And so it's all to the glory of God, but through Jesus Christ. Why? Because we are His body. And so it is through Jesus Christ. To Him belongs the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Not to us. Not even to us as a church. Not to us as a local body. Not to the church as a whole in the universal church in the world. It's Jesus Christ. It's because we are part of His body. All right, I'm going to cover Romans chapter 12. Again, we're familiar with a lot of this, but then we'll close our lesson. Romans chapter 12, verse 3. We're familiar again with these phrases. But Paul says, For by the grace given to me. So Paul here is talking about a specific anointing that was given to him. What gifting was given to Paul? Apostle, to a degree, prophet, certainly an evangelist, and a teacher. Probably all of that, and we probably put in there pastor, because he became a spiritual pastor to many churches. So Paul, in a sense, worked in all of those gifts, but that's up to God, not up to Paul. He was just doing what God gave him to do. And so he was just fulfilling, and I say through the grace given to me. So it's it's not me. When I'm telling you, when I'm teaching you, it's not me. It's the grace given to me. I say to everyone. So the grace given to me, I say to every one of you. And so this grace given to Paul or any apostle or any prophet or any pastor, teacher, this grace given is to everyone, including myself. I teach myself, amazingly, yes. I see things I've never seen before. Justin asked me a question the other day. He came into my office and asked me a question, and I said, I really never paid attention to that verse before. And so Justin stumped me, and all the rest of the staff was very happy about that. Because for some reason, I think I'm supposed to know everything. But I don't. But we talked together, and in a sense, together we worked out what that passage meant. I'd read it before, but it just had never hit. But it's something that he wants to minister to the Nuts and Bolts group in August. Is that when you have a meeting? So Justin's going to minister, and he got this. And I was like, wow. That's really good. So anyway, you'll have to go to that meeting to hear it, because I'm not going to tell you. So, because I don't know it. Yeah. Anyway, I say to everyone among you, notice this next phrase, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment. Listen, he's not saying don't get arrogant because of the gift you have. What he's saying is don't think you don't need everybody else. That's what he means by this. Don't see yourself as so gifted that you don't need other people. Don't think of yourself more highly than you. You're not a lone wolf. There are no lone wolves in the body of Christ. We're all part of His body. In fact, we're not wolves, we're sheep anyway. And so we're not to be alone. I need you. And I'll say you need me. So there you are. But don't think of yourself as if you don't need other people. And this is kind of rampant in the body of Christ. People receive Jesus Christ. They're brought to salvation. But then they never become part of a body. Or they become part of the body every few weeks. I'm not trying to poke anybody. I'm just saying that's what it is. And if I'm poking you, then move, right? The pastor... Brother Sprague used to say, if the cat's getting his fur rubbed the wrong way, let the cat turn around. So anyway, we need one another. It's not just, you know, come every so often. I guess the national average of Christians attending a church is maybe two times a month? So it's like between one and two times a month? How does that work out? I don't know. But that's the average. Some people go maybe once every other month. Listen, you need the church, but the church needs you. Don't rob me of you. Thank you, dear. Because when you're not here, I'm missing something. It's not just you're missing my incredible teaching or my wonderful presence. You're missing what God has given me to give to you. And so we want you here. And then he goes on, not to think of judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned to him. There we are back to that measure. Again, what? Because God has only given you a part. But it's called a measure of faith because you have to use faith to receive it. Why? Because you're back to my little two-sided diagram. Grace is what comes from God. Faith is what we use to receive it. So if it's by faith, it's how? Through grace. If it's by grace, it's through faith. And so those two things go together. And if I've received a measure of the body of Christ, then I'm going to have to use faith to draw from that grace. I can't use my own strength. I can't use the fact that I am so wonderful that I don't need God. No, I need to draw from his strength. I need to draw from his grace. I need his help. As I'm putting lessons together, I need his help. I need to know what it is I'm supposed to teach. Sometimes I get too much. Maybe if I listen closer, my notes wouldn't be as complete. But anyway, I think big. I think I can get all this out, but I can't. I limit myself when I preach on Sundays to these two panels. I list my, that's because I know that that's about all I can minister at that time. So this is the way that I focus on the things that God has given me. Because he put me here to teach. And I know he put you here to receive, but he also put you here to minister to other people. You talk to other people in the congregation, you don't know who you're teaching. You don't know who you're maybe prophesying to. You don't know who it is that the grace of God is pouring out into their lives. You don't know that, but you are. That's why we encourage you, don't just go in the auditorium and sit down in your chair. Go talk to somebody you don't know. Go introduce yourself. And if they say, well, we've already been introduced, then say, I'm sorry, but I forgot that. But how are you? I came over here because I want to know how you're doing. I want to know if there's anything that you need from God. And if someone said, would you pray for me? Don't say, okay, I will. Do it. Do it. And so that, say, well, there's going to be prayer at the end of the service. No, pray for them. Why? Because you've got just as much power to pray as I have. Same God. Same Holy Spirit, same connection to God. I don't have a special channel. And I know people come for healing and they come for healing lines, but sometimes people get dependent on the healing line. And they're not looking at what they can receive, they're looking at what you can do. God is a benefactor. He's put me in the earth as a benefactor, that I am here to do good. I'm just a trustee. And if you want to come and withdraw some from that, go for it. But it's also my responsibility to make sure I give it out. I had a phrase one time, I got it when I was on my way home from China. And the phrase is, I want to go to heaven empty. As I began meditating on that, I began to just kind of weep before the Lord. It was the trip that Jan went on with me. And we were sitting on the plane and I was kind of overcome with that. What does that mean? That I don't want rewards? No. But it's not up to me to get the rewards. What's up to me? To empty myself out. I want to give out everything. I don't want to get to heaven and say, here, Jesus, I know you gave me this gift to teach and I reserved it so I could give it back to you. He doesn't want it back. He wants it to flow through you. If a benefactor gives you a great amount, you know, of money, Use it. That's why he gave it. Not so that you can have it to give back to him someday. He's a benefactor. He's not looking for return. Now, Jesus corrected the man. He said, but I'm looking for the fruit. I'm looking for the increase. What did you do with my gift? If God has given me this gift, I want other people to be the fruit of that. I want people to receive. And man, I have gone over time, just a couple minutes. Verse 4, and we'll come back to start with this next week. For as in one body we have many members, and the members don't all have the same function. Now again, Paul enlarged upon this in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So you can kind of take this as, you know, an introduction to chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians. So we, though many, are one body. We're many, but one body. But notice what Anne said. And individually, members one of another. So it's like, okay, we're all blessed, but we're still one body, but we're still individually gifted. Think of your physical body. It is born as one body. Actually, it started as one cell. Amazing. And look at what you are. So, all of this developed just as the body of Christ. And so what? Again, verse 6, and this is where we'll pick up kind of as a completion to this and then introduction to the next section. Having gifts that differ. Why am I different? Because God made me that way. I'm different because that's the way God wanted me to be. He didn't want me to be like you, again, because he's got one of those. He's already got one. And so he wants me to be what he's given me to be. I may be a lot like you, but there's shades of difference because of my background, because of my education, because of where I came from, because of my family history, because of all kinds of things, because of my physical abilities and my physical makeup. No matter, even if we're very close in color, there's a shade of difference between us. Why? Because individually, we're all part of one body, but we're still individuals. So we're going to take up from this next week, talking about manifesting his power. We are not just benefactors of his person in the earth, being what he would be if he was here. We're also benefactors of his power flowing through us. So we'll take that up next week. Sorry for keeping a little long. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord God, for the gifting that you've given us. Sometimes we don't even know what it is yet. There are things that you have given us, giftings, abilities, that we don't even understand. But a day will come when we'll know that that gift is here for this purpose. And we'll be able to use that gift for the purpose that you gave it. We thank you, Father God. All of this is to your glory, not to ours. That through the body of Christ, we might be your person in the earth, doing good as you did. And we thank you for this, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.